Welcome to Imagine the Possibilities with Intellia, where we showcase Intellia talent across departments. My name is Maritza Makowski, Associate Director, Talent Attraction Programs.
And my name is Ellie Kalamkridis, Talent Attraction Partner. On this show, we take deep dives into all things culture and careers. We talk about career steps and missteps, development, growth, and more.
Just imagine the possibilities of what we can learn together. Today, we are imagining the possibilities with Caroline King, Senior Buyer, Finance, and Accounting. She joined Intellia in September 2019. She holds a Bachelor's in Fine Arts from Syracuse University and a Digital Design and Visualization Certification from Boston Architectural College. Her work experience started as an assistant wedding planner, an interior design assistant, and then transitioned to 4 years at Tetra Phase Pharmaceuticals and now Intellia. Caroline is a remote employee currently living in Durham, North Carolina. She is also the leader of our social events cultural ambassador group. Fun fact, Caroline has 2 bent pinkies, which apparently is a genetic trait. However, she hasn't been able to track down who in the family passed them on. That's just yet anyway. Stay tuned to learn more.
Hi, Caroline. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. In the show intro, we provided a quick introduction, but we'd love to have you start and share your elevated pitch version of your bio.
I'm Caroline King. I am a senior buyer here at Intellia, and I've been with Intellia for just over 3 years. Before that, I was with another smaller biotech that was in Watertown. And then before that, I was in the design and art world.
That's great, and definitely excited to hear a little more about how you transitioned from the art world into the biotech space. And on top of that, so we were really impressed to initially read about your background. You're currently in finance, as you described, but you have this fine arts degree. So could you share a little more about that career journey and how you found yourself in finance today?
Sure. Yeah, it definitely looks funny on paper. and it has been a journey of, you know, self-reflection and figuring out in real life context what I like doing in work and what makes me happy versus, you know, the reality of it. So I went to school to do graphic design, and I did an internship one summer and absolutely hated it. It was horrible. We finished like one project the whole summer, and just that back and forth drove me insane, and I had no patience for it. So I was like, all right, that's probably not for me. So when I graduated, I joined a little interior design firm and my home in New Hampshire, and I loved that. It felt really rewarding. We were doing projects for people and really changing their homes. So one of my favorite projects we worked on was working with a young woman to change her bedroom from like her childhood bedroom to a more adult, mature decision, and like helping her make that and seeing the confidence that she gained with just that change of her own space. So that was really rewarding. So I was like, okay, let's run with this, but I don't want to be in New Hampshire anymore. So I moved to Boston and got a job in an interior design firm here. And that everything that I loved of doing that job small scale was horrible large scale. And so very quickly I realized I wasn't going to be happy there. And I promised myself I'd make it a year, get that experience and learning, but then, you know, change and pivot and do something else. Because one of our clients had like 13 bathrooms and bought an $800 oyster encrusted shell like trash can. And it was, you know, opulence and kind of, it was really fascinating to see, but at long scale, I was like, this feels icky.
Yeah.
So after that, I was like, I want to try something totally different. So I worked with a staffing firm and I did a bunch of interviews, and I told myself I'd pick the one that I was most interested in. And I ended up going to the small biotech in Watertown called Tetra Phase, and they were doing antibiotic resistant UTI. And so that was really fascinating. I was so interested in it. And, you know, when I started, we weren't commercial yet. So it was through clinical trials into the commercialization. People there were great. It was small. So they really invested in my growth and let me try a bunch of different hats on. So I did operations, I did supply chain, I did buying. I worked on some like clinical things. It was awesome because anything I was like, wanted to try, they were really willing to let me try. So yeah, that was super fun and grew with them. But I did really focus on like the buying and supply chain. That just felt to fit my personality, right? And so then John Hayes at Intellia was at that company in the beginning. We only overlapped for a little bit, but he reached out saying, hey, I have this role. I think you'd be really good for it. So I did some research on Intellia and I got really excited about it because my brother has a disease. He has hemophilia. So I got really excited about like knowing that this, how it affects real life families and that like seeing the modern medicine and how it's changed our lives and his lives for the better. And just being able to work at a company where I know everything that we're doing, even though I'm not directly in the lab and saving it, we're going towards a cause that is really, really going to have a difference. And having that personal connection really made me excited to join Intellia. So I was like, yes, definitely. Thanks for thinking of me. And been here ever since.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
that's
I'm awesome. Gonna jump back really quick. So you were in interior design and you magically get this job in biotech. Back me up here. What did the resume look like? What was the first job? Like break that down for us more.
Yeah. I really just got my foot in the door. You know, I started as basically their receptionist. Mm-hmm. And then very quickly I think people saw that I was excited to learn and grow. So they gave me all these new roles and opportunities. So I'm very grateful for them to see that potential in me and really help me grow. So that was great. But yeah, it's in the like paper resume, it looks kind of insane.
No, I think that's a great story though, because I think oftentimes it feels weird to take a step back, and that's not even the right term because it wasn't a step back. You had to do that to get into the new career, and that positive attitude and willingness to do anything is what literally shaped your career, it sounds like. So it's so awesome you were open to taking that challenge. We have someone on the podcast before you, and she described a career as like a rock wall, and that's really stuck with me because that's sort of like what you did here. You had to go up and down and sideways and all over.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I was listening to the Fireside Chat last week.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about that. And that was, you know, Muna's biggest advice was don't think of it as a ladder. Think of doing everything and cast a really wide net. And that's definitely how I've viewed my career and continue to view my career, of just being willing to learn and explore and always grow. And it's not just this linear path.
Yeah, I think that's something too that they're focusing on more, at least I would hope, in, you know, undergraduate schools with not making students feel like siloed into a specific major. And that means a specific career track for the rest of your life. And I mean, this is talked about in the Fireside Chat as well, but people are changing jobs a lot. People are changing their career focus. So you're definitely a perfect example of that. So could you walk us through what a day in the life of a buyer for a biotech looks like?
Sure. One of my favorite things about our day-to-day is that there's no set path. You can come in and look at your meetings and think you're going to have this kind of day, and then it totally changes. And you're putting out some other fire or exploring some other thing that you didn't even have an idea when you started the day. So it's fun, and we work with everyone in the company because everyone needs to buy things. So, you know, one day we'll be working with you guys on t-shirts, and the next day we'll be working with tech ops and finding like how to ship something correctly and get a discount with that like shipping lane. And then the next day we'll be working on like blood products. So everything's new and different, and it has left a lot of room to learn everything. You know, I've come from an art background, we just talked about. So many things they'll say a word and I'm like, I'm sorry, I have literally no idea what that is. Can you like go back to square one and just explain that to me? So that's super fun. We do, obviously, we have a lot of like administrative stuff. We turn every single rec into a PO and we review coding, pricing, all of that stuff. So we have hands-on every single purchase in this company.
Wow.
But beyond that, we're looking bigger term and bigger scale. So we're reviewing all of the vendors we work with and make sure we have the best pricing with them, and, you know, we're not getting robbed, or there's mm-hmm. been, this has been a crazy couple years with supply chain and inflation. Mm-hmm. And the other day we just noticed that we're getting like an inflation charge from one of our vendors. And so we're all quickly being like, oh, no, no, sorry. You can't just charge us 3% for fun. So we're arguing with them on that. So it's a little bit of everything, and it's fun and different every day, but a lot of stuff.
Wow. Wow. That's so interesting. And is there any overlap? And it's okay if it's no, but is there any overlap from the interior design days to what you do now?
A little bit. Like, you have to get creative in how you work. A lot of the last couple of years have been supply chain issues. So you have to get, you know, I went back to, in interior design, someone would describe this like cabinet, and I'd have to search the internet for crazy things. And I was on all different types of websites. So it kind of went back to that, where I was searching for like pipetting tips in every, every actually, piece of the internet you could possibly see. So yeah, it's a lot of creative problem solving, which is like what I loved about that part of the job too. So there definitely is some overlaps. Obviously it's not the like visual side, but there are overlaps for sure.
And we know that there's been supply chain issues with furniture. It took us like a year to get our dining room table.
Yes, I am very thankful to not be in that world right now. Yeah. Different problems, but the furniture side is not fun.
And so you mentioned in your intro, you've been with Intellia for over 3 years, but you moved to North Carolina this past July. You were based in Cambridge previously. And you took advantage of our summer shutdown to move, which is great. Could you share more about that process and just approaching your boss and then becoming what we call a remote employee? And a company that's primarily on site, given the lab work needed.
I definitely recommend, if you're going to move across state lines, to be really committed to it. And that was my biggest takeaway, because I've only ever really moved, you know, local places where you can put everything in a car and drive. So that in itself is an adventure. But outside of that, it was so easy. And I'm so greatly appreciative of Intellia and my boss, Heather, for running with it. And just, I asked, and it was basically an immediate yes. You know, they just were like, we have to put some things in place, but she was like, you've been working remote since March of 2020. We launched Oracle, which is our procurement platform. We were supposed to do it in like April of 2020, and then COVID happened. So we kind of pivoted and pushed out the timeline, and then had to figure out how to launch and train the entire company remote. So that was a big immediate tackle that we had to handle. And we, again, got super creative. And so getting through that remote, I think, really, you know, established her trust in that we were working and getting things done efficiently. So she didn't even blink an eye, which I greatly appreciate. I also have to say, she definitely saw like my Zillow searches a few times when I like incorrectly screen shared. I don't think she was shocked in any way, shape, or form. Oh, that's
so funny.
So yeah, she was great. And I cannot thank her enough, because it's been wonderful to be down here. It is, you know, there are pros and cons. I love that every day is comfortable pants, and I get to work with my cat. But I be in Cambridge and just say, hey, I'll pop over and we can do this together. And I also have to give a shout out to my team too, because they've moved to being more hybrid. So they're on site a lot. And so we've been planning some like vendor events, and it does work out where I do all the logistical planning and set everything up, and then they're on site day of. But I do appreciate the fact that they're willing to step up, and they haven't even, you know, they've never complained that they have to kind of pick up a little bit of lag on site. So a shout out to them for that.
Awesome. That's really nice to hear. And I guess big takeaway for anyone is just to be honest and open with your manager. And that's maybe the HR side of me, but there are differences when you're working in a different state, and going about hiding it is not the way to go. So hopefully everyone's managers are as accepting as yours, Caroline, is. And then you don't need to hide anything, and the Zillow searches can be public.
Yeah, I can't imagine trying to hide working remote. I mean, that might just be that I'm an extremely honest person, but it's just like the chaos of trying to be like, yeah, I can't come in because I can't walk the 3 blocks from my old apartment. I now have to get on a plane. I don't know how I would handle that one. So
yeah,
honesty, definitely the best policy. Yep.
And then another element is that you lead our social events, cultural ambassadors. And that is very much in person. I mean, there are virtual elements of it too. But for example, you are in the middle of planning our holiday party, which will be in person. So can you share more about those responsibilities, why you joined the cultural ambassadors, and maybe how your role has changed there since going remote?
Sure. Yeah, I started in 2020 when we were remote. I kind of took over for Eleni when she moved up to kind of the head position for the CAs. And at that point, we were doing everything remote. And mm-hmm. I had just joined the general CAs when, you know, I was missing people and wanted to get more involved in planning things. And, you know, being remote was super alienating at that time. It was before we had kind of adjusted to it. Yeah, that was kind of why I wanted to join. And then stepping up, it was, yeah, definitely has changed. There was a period of time where I was lead where, again, I was in Cambridge. So for events, while I wasn't on site, I could pop over and help organize. And now that I moved, you know, I threw it out to my team being like, if this isn't working anymore for me to be the lead, I'm happy for us to move around roles. But everyone is super supportive. And I think my role with my team, because my team is amazing, it's jumping up and volunteering to do things. So the role that they just really want is someone to like add guidance mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. assign tasks. So that works really well for us because, you know, I've still been able to do that. And I can do all the back end things of putting up the signage and writing emails and all of the like kind of admin stuff. And then again, they're really willing and happy to help on site and jump in and mm-hmm. do the setups and things like that. So it does work a really well balance. But again, we've always stayed in communication where I'm like, if this isn't working for people, happy to again, acknowledge, change, adapt, whatever we need to do. But for now, we're still doing good.
That's great. It's something I actually never thought of, like approaching the team and offering to step down or take a different role. But I think that's really awesome that you did. Can you share a little bit more about what the social events cultural ambassadors do? I think the name semi gives it away, but just in case for our external listeners.
Sure. Yeah. So we do the social events. So, you know, historically that's been our big events are like we do a casino night. Intellia has like a very, I don't want to say weird, but we have a very intense attachment to Halloween. And before COVID, it was like a very intense rivalry and people go all out. One of my favorite ones, and I think it was because I had just joined Intellia, so it was like the most shocking, was that a scientist who's now left us, he's this like very biking manly man, and then he was dressed up as Princess Peach or Glenda the Good Witch. So I appreciate how much people go all out. So that was definitely missed and hard to navigate in COVID.
Yeah,
it took a little hit. People still dressed up, and I appreciate all those people who are still willing to go, but it definitely was more fun in person. And so we organized that, and it was one of those moments where I had really intense like FOMO of getting videos to set up the like Slido for voting, and there was like a Thriller dance, and I was also just chuckling to myself because it was like all these cars driving past our parking lot. Let's be so confused. But yeah, and then we'll plan the summer outing, which this year was at Lawn on D, the hottest day of the year.
Yes.
Yeah, and I appreciate everyone who still had fun. We made sure there were a lot of waters, and looking forward to our holiday event this year, which we're in the process of planning. So, and then in between we do happy hours. One of my favorite things we did in COVID was implement like a little talent show, which was really cool and fun to see what people get up to outside of work. So we're trying to figure out how to bring that back in and maybe do them in person because people really liked that.
Mm-hmm. I love the, I think you did a pottery class virtually, like a wine and chocolate maybe with Italy. You guys did a paint night. It's amazing. You all pulled so much off that I can't even picture them being in person now. I only picture them virtual, but everyone's still on Zoom and having a great time together.
Yeah, we got some feedback that, you know, people had a little bit of Zoom fatigue, and so yeah. We should focus more on in-person events, but we are doing our first hybrid paint night. So we'll have people in seminar rooms if they want to be in person at Intellia, but we're also going to offer it virtually so you can get the kit sent to your house. So that's our first like real hybrid thing that we're going to do. So I'm excited about that one. So
very cool. Very cool. And you all partner with some really awesome local vendors, which is great as well.
Yeah, I'm a big local supporter. So wherever we can, we try.
That's awesome. Pivoting a bit. Could you speak a little about who has been your most important professional mentor?
Yeah, I have been really lucky of having really, really great bosses. So I don't think that there's necessarily one, because I wouldn't be where I am today without a bunch of different people. And each has offered, you know, different support and roles. But, you know, my boss in my last company really did let me just explore, and she totally trusted me. So anything I wanted to do, she was like, go for it, and offered guidance. She knew a lot. So she was a good person to learn from. And then coming to Intellia, you know, I kind of got more focused on just procurement and been a really good role model to learn there. You know, she has had such a long, awesome career in procurement, and she and I are very funny because when we did the insights thing, we are still in person. So they had us line up in like who was, you know, scaled up, and Heather and I were literally always polar opposites on the whole team. And so it's super interesting because we do work really different. And something she thinks about is not what I think about. And so I think we've been able to learn really well from each other. And she also like has these tactics that I would never, ever think to use, but they're super efficient and work really well. I'll tell the story of like one of my first weeks at Intellia. We had a vendor come in that I had never worked with at my previous company, but Heather had. So she knew they were like really hard to negotiate with. Mm. And so we had like four vendor reps in the room together. And Heather was just like, so are you going to give us a discount or not? And then just like sat silently and stared at them. And I was sitting there being like, I am so uncomfortable right now. Like, this is so awkward. I could literally leave this room and die. But after like a couple minutes, they squirmed and they were like, yeah, we'll meet you. And they gave us a discount. So we left that room with that. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. Something I would never think to do. And now I've leaned into it. Sometimes you just really in an uncomfortable situation of having to ask people to like give you money, essentially. Yeah. It is uncomfortable. So you lean into that and kind of make people squirm a little bit. So that was a good learning lesson. And she's been great and really also willing to let me explore within the procurement and make sure I'm always learning something different. So shout out to her. She's been a good mentor.
So funny. We should have actually asked a question about negotiating and maybe your answers to make them squirm. But what about in a position like, I feel like the age-old example is buying a car. Like, you need the car. So you're not in a position that you can negotiate.
Yeah.
As maybe it is in this scenario where we're a company with multiple vendors that want to work with us. Would you use the same tactic, Caroline, or have you learned on the other negotiation? I mean,
some vendors are hard. Vendors who have really niche products and know that they have the market cornered, right now, they're thriving. They're doing great. They know that you can't go anywhere else, so they're just charging whatever they want. It's vendors where, you know, there are other sources that make it a little easier, because similar to the car thing, you can be like, well, you know, I'm going to go explore different dealership or something like that. So that's kind of where you get your opportunity. Right now we're in a really hard market where it is really hard for us to negotiate, so we have been having to like pull out those crazy tactics and, you know, kind of not threaten people, but a little bit where you're like, all right, well, this is our budget that we've spent with you, but we can take this somewhere else, and
like be fully prepared to walk away. And like
I do have to say, we do have some really great reps too who are excited about the work Intellia does, and so they really look out for us and have our backs. And they're always fighting for us to get better discounting. And, you know, I really appreciate some of our reps will come and be like, hey, look, you guys just moved to the next discount tier. And I'm like, thank you for telling me that. That's great. And then some of our reps are really hard. So it is just kind of who you get and who you want to work with and what we have for negotiating power. But it definitely has been a couple challenging years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Negotiating something that everyone, I feel like no matter what, no matter how comfortable you are with it, it's just an uncomfortable conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect, I guess. Yeah. And then is there anything you wish you had known before you began your professional career?
I think what we've kind of already talked about of just being willing to change and pivot and mm-hmm. making a big decision to go somewhere else isn't going to be necessarily a negative impact. I was really scared. And when I went to go make the change, my old boss had reached out and was like, hey, you can come back and work for me. And I did. I was like, oh, goodness, like, what do I do? And I was like, I know that there's security in that one, but mm-hmm. this other adventure seems fun, too. So just being willing to, like, trust the path and meander a little bit. And just as long as you're, like, excited and doing things that you feel good about and are learning, then I think just trust the process, I guess, is really what I would say to people starting out. And just because you get one job doesn't mean you're going to be in it for the rest of time. So I think that's a big lesson that is important. And what I've been telling, like, that's what I told our summer intern this summer, is like, as long as you're, like, excited about work every day, then that means something. And if you're not excited, then maybe it's time to try something else.
Yeah.
I think that's great advice.
I like that a lot. And if you work as hard as it sounds like you did / do now, you can always go back, right? Like, no manager is going to say, no, I don't want to take this amazing employee back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that eliminates some of the fear, because it can definitely be so intimidating.
Definitely.
You've already shared some great stories with us about, you know, moments in your career so far, but looking back over that, what would you say is one of your greatest triumphs?
I think just finding myself here and how I got here, looking back on it, feel really, like, proud of that journey. But, like, in a more concrete example, just keeping the lab in supply these couple years is like a big, like, pat myself on the back.
Yeah,
because there are definitely times where, like, I got crazy texts being like, hey, if we don't find tips, like, the lab is gonna shut down. So it was wild and an adventure, but we did make it through without the labs ever having to shut down. And, you know, that was a joint effort on operations and our part, and scientists keeping track of things. So it was like a big joint effort of all Inventelia, but I'm glad to say that we made it through despite, like, COVID taking all of the tip supply. We still managed to somehow make it through. And that's really a proud moment.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you all are truly keeping the labs running.
Yeah.
That's, wow. Yeah, that's incredible. And then what about outside of your professional career and your personal life? What's been a triumph in that area?
You know, one of the reasons we moved to North Carolina was because we can really afford a house down here.
Yep.
So we bought a house, and that has been, like, a big reward here. It is helpful because it helps me get back to that creative side that I originally started with all my home projects, and knowing that it's going into, you know, a house and making it our space. One of my life goals has always been to own chickens too, and we just bought a chicken coop plan, so we're gonna build it this winter, and I'm very excited. I already have chicken names picked out.
That's so amazing.
I'm very excited about that.
That is awesome. Farm fresh eggs, we mm-hmm. love it.
Wow.
I know the podcast listeners can't see this, but I was admiring your bookshelf behind you. They're all color coordinated and they look so nice. I want to do something like that in my apartment.
Thank you. It was actually a big, like, point of debate of how we arranged our books.
Yeah.
And it was just the easiest one to do. So this will adapt and change as it moves on. But yeah, I love
that.
It's amazing.
Shout out to the home edit. We love the rainbow system.
Yes.
Yes. And honestly, it's sort of Intellia colors, which is a nice little...
It's true. I didn't even mean to do that, but I did set you in some of the teal yellow.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's great.
I'll say I planned it.
That's awesome. And then what do you think is next for your career?
Yeah, when I was reading through these questions, I was like, oh God, this one's really hard.
It is.
I don't know. Obviously, I want to continue to learn and grow. I think I'll kind of sound like a broken record here where I'm going to say again, as long as I'm learning, I'm kind of just going to be where the journey takes me. Something I am kind of interested in is, you know, when I was at my old company, I was doing supply chain on like the commercial side. So I do definitely want to kind of, I've been working with supply chain here, but I definitely want to kind of reach out and do like a little shadow of them to see what it's like on the clinical side and just get a little info on that. But again, always changing. And Heather said, I've been doing consumables focused for the last couple years. So she was like, I think it's time that we maybe change it up for you so you learn something different. So next year I might change roles a little bit within procurement. And so I think as long as there's adapting and changing and I'm growing, then I'm happy to join this whatever path that I'm going to be on.
That's great.
Awesome. So for the last part, we do these rapid fire questions. So if you could invite one person living or dead to dinner, who would it be and why?
This one, I'm going to kind of embarrass myself here, but 110% Taylor Swift.
I think you're the second person to say that this season.
I love her. I've been following her since I was in high school. And just, again, like, what an amazing story of, like, a woman growing and changing and adapting. Yeah. And I just think she is.
Wow. You're in the awesome. Right. We're all Swifties here. You're in the right group.
Yep.
Doesn't she have all the top 10 in the Billboard right
yes,
now?
Yes. Yes. She just, like, continues to, like, knock off these insane things that weren't even like feasibly possible, but she continues to just change the world. So I love her.
Maybe we should just send her the every podcast episode where people are saying that and see if she'll do a group dinner with us.
Honestly, maybe if we send her all these podcasts, she can be like our winter performer.
I would die. Taylor Swift, are you free January 20th? It's amazing. Oh my god, I would cry. You guys, wait, I can't go to the holiday party. She can't come.
No, not the holiday party, separate event. She deserves her own Intellia performance.
That's great. Great dinner. What's something you're currently working on in your role that you're excited about?
So I actually just kind of got like the final approval to get it on site. So we're doing an RFID cabinet, which is basically like a consignment cabinet that has lab supplies in it. So scientists can go grab it and then it gets tracked digitally and then resupplied every week. So we have a couple other cabinets on site, but this one's going to be Thermo, which is basically like our biggest lab supply vendor. So we're always looking to see how we can drive efficiencies and make it easier for us and scientists. So I'm excited about that one. I think it's going to make a big difference for people.
Wow. And then our last question is, what is your favorite thing about working at Intellia?
I love the people. You know, the work is amazing and I find it so interesting to learn because, again, like art background, everything that everyone does here is like so cool and just like breaks my brain. And I appreciate also the people's willingness to maybe like, this is a really dumb question, can you explain it at like 101 level? And they never make me feel stupid, and always so excited to like have me learn and join their like expertise. So I really appreciate everyone's like willingness to just stop and take a moment and teach me what we're like focusing on. And I think the people, the work, everything in Telly is just great.
That's awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much. This was super, super interesting. I know we work with you all a ton, but I think you're right. A lot of what you guys do, we don't really see. So this was really fun to pull the curtain back. And thank you for negotiating for us and helping us get all of the millions of swag items that we need.
Yes, and an apology to everyone if we ever are pains in the butts, but we're doing it for a greater cause. So
you're not just doing it. Yeah, awesome. Thank you both so much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks so much to Caroline for coming on the show this week. We loved hearing more about her experience becoming a remote employee and all of the amazing work she does with our cultural ambassadors. The holiday party was in fact a huge success, so congratulations to Caroline and her team. Tune in next week for our 10th and final episode of season 3, where we interview Ileana Clark, Executive Vice President, Chief Technology Officer. Ileana is a wealth of knowledge and experience, and you definitely don't want to miss out on this episode.